You're like, yeah, we're doing things a little differently today. Yes, we are. And that is in part because we're going to finish in a timely manner to transition to believer baptism. And I don't know if that got highlighted enough. Can we pull that slide up from the announcements? Can you go back to that, guys, any chance? After service ends, grab some coffee in the center lobby and come back here for a service of believer baptism. And hopefully many of you can stay as some individuals give public testimony of their faith. Well, we have a topic in front of us, and typically I read the scripture, but today I did not. But all of us have legitimate emotions, every one of us. These are not wrong. They can go wrong, and of course, where they go wrong is when emotions have us. We've been created in the image of God with emotions. Where emotions go wrong is when we sin because emotions have us. Gospel freedom applied by the working of the Spirit enables us to feel emotion, to have emotion, but not be led into sin. Can we say that again? Gospel freedom applied by the Holy Spirit enables us, and even the children we train as they come to know and follow Jesus, to feel emotion, to have emotion, but not be led into sin. And of course, sin is anything we do, attitudes, actions, words that is not consistent with loving God or loving others. So what we've just described about emotions and sin, all these things are especially true of anger. Anger connects to a lot of other emotions when you think about it, right? So fear a lot of times leads to anger. Frustration leads to anger. Embarrassment leads to anger. A sense of injustice leads to anger. So emotions connect a lot to anger, and anger connects a lot so many times to sin. Can we all just agree that's the way it is? So today we're looking at this little section of scripture, Ephesians 4, 26 to 27, just two verses. And there's so much here, we're going to look at it again next week. It says this, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. As we've been mentioning in this series, emotions oftentimes are a gauge, telling, hey, something's going on. You feel something because of something. And of course, the issue when these gauges are engaged is, as we've been instructed here, to not sin. This is true not only of anger, but could be true of anxiety, fear, sadness, loneliness, whatever else it is. There are emotions we need to get rid of, throw out, selfishness, resentment, bitterness, rage, hate, jealousy, envy, lust, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about those in these verses. But when the gauge registers as a healthy individual, living in a way that honors God, we can move in a direction that isn't sinning. And of course, if we sin, we need to repent. But how can we feel in ways that are good and right and deal with emotions in ways that are good and right? Here is what this text addresses. Today, we're going to look at six things that we can do connected to this text in its context for not sinning when emotions fire. These are explicitly about anger, but they connect to a lot of other emotions. So if you're struggling with anger a lot, this is to you. If you're like, I don't have that big of a deal with anger, but man, I've got a big deal with some other emotion that leads me into sinning. Well, first, we need to taste the emotion. We'll talk about what that means. Feel it, really feel it. Tell God the emotion, the truth from the Bible for and about it. This is so powerful and transformative, right? We tend to lie to ourselves, so we need the truth of Scripture to reorient ourselves, our thinking, and our responses. And we got to test the emotion, test ourselves, and toss what is not good, what we should toss. And then we're going to give you today a tool. There is a multi-tool. This is better than a Swiss Army knife. A spiritual multi-tool that I'm going to tell you about today that you can take with you for dealing with every single emotion. And the unveiling will come in a little bit. This is a biblically prescribed tool, and it's going to help us to do 1, 2, 3, and 4. You need this. We all need this. And then, of course, you got to deal with things in a timely way. Now, sometimes we may want to do it too fast. We're both really mad, and we're going to try to have this serious discussion while we're both firing hot emotionally. Not a good idea. But a lot of times we go wrong when we don't deal with things when we should deal with things, and that leads to greater problems. And we're all prone to doing that. So this is how to not sin when you feel anger or other emotions fire. So let's first consider, got to make sure we hear this in the context, right? This is for us to think about and apply this command, be angry and do not sin. Do not sin in the Greek is not a suggestion. It is a command. It's a command for believers. When we have emotion, such as anger, don't let it lead us into sinning. And of course, a lot of times this is exactly what's happening, because when emotions fire, a lot of times we move into reactivity. We tend to justify ourselves and try to hold in on our position. It's everybody else's problem, right? It's always everybody else's problem. It's never, no, like I'm the problem. So this is not, though, a list of rules. I've given you a list. It's not a rule-driven list, though. It's a relationship-based list. What do I mean by that? All of these flow from new life in Christ. In the context here, Paul is writing to a group of believers about living out new life in Christ by God's grace through personal faith in Jesus, who is their Savior, and now they're learning from Him. They have learned from Him, and they are learning from Him as God, by His grace, works in us. In this series, we've been leaning this oftentimes towards kids, and I want to just say, your kids are spiritually dead apart from the grace of Jesus, as you were apart from the grace of Jesus. And we all live spiritually the life of God only when God makes us alive. Now, and some of the things I'm saying, like you say, that's a radical statement, Pastor Bruce. Well, read the book of Ephesians. You were dead in your transgressions and sin, but God made us alive. By grace you've been saved through faith. Now, if that hasn't happened to you, if you're like, whatever, God, whatever, Jesus, whatever, then the number one most important thing is to come to know Him and believe in Him so that you are alive. Now, Paul is instructing believers here in this context who are alive in Christ how to walk in this new life, how to keep growing and not revert into darkness. This is a real temptation that we would say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to go back to the old way of living. And then in my sin, in my emotional reactivity, I justify myself, I lie to myself, I deflect the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and say, no, it's not me, it's them, or it's okay, or whatever, right? So Paul is telling us then how to not fall into that. Do you know that all of us as believers are in school? How do I know that? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 21, as Paul's framing this renewal in right thinking, which shapes right living and right choices, flows from this new life in Christ, and He is our teacher. That is not the way you learned Christ. Christ is the teacher, Christ is the subject matter, and Christ is the classroom. That word learned, you might find it interesting, is connected to the word disciple. And, oh, that's what I am, right? So you, knowing Jesus, following Jesus, you're in this constant process of learning from Him, about Him, growing in Him as He shapes you. And so that's how you receive this. Oh, this is in the context of my relationship with Jesus. So what's needed for each person to have God's help in this identification of and management of our emotions by not going into sin while we have it is this one thing, a personal faith in Jesus. If you have it, you've got the resource and ready to go. If you don't have it, take that step. Now you're thinking about your cute little kid, or maybe sometimes not so cute because they're having some emotions take over, right? What do they need? They need a lot of things. They need training, instruction, guidance, encouragement, reinforcement, helping them to understand emotion, et cetera, et cetera. But number one, you want to put the focus on their personal relationship with Jesus. Not external behavior management, but the work of Jesus, which gets at heart transformation and gives them a power and a tool for every kind of situation. That's what we want to set them up for. They would receive Jesus and have new life and the Holy Spirit's presence and his guidance and growth in this school to learn Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and transitioning from Paul giving that exhortation about living in a way that reflects the new life that we are now in. Paul's transitioning to relationships. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. He's moving in this impacting on relationships, about truthfulness, about anger, about honesty, about edifying talk, if you just follow the list. And we're going to right now begin with number one, in not sinning when emotions fire, as we look at how we apply this to our own lives and also help parents have some tools and thoughts about, well, how do they get kids to be engaged around these truths? Taste the emotion. I could have said feel, but the reason I put taste besides the alliteration is maybe it just slows us down a little bit to say, yeah, what is this, right? When you taste something, you're not just gobbling the food really fast. If you're tasting, it's like, oh, is that sweet? Is that savory? Is that salty? What's going on? What's it smell like? What's the texture, right? Really taste it. And one way we do not sin when we have emotions fire is to know what we feel. And I say this because the Bible says this. Literally, Ephesians 4:26 commands be angry. And that's an odd thing, right? Because many kinds of anger move into sin. Now, why is it? Because anger is real. Feelings are real. It's part of recreation in God's image. There's a real gauge of our anger and whatever other emotions. The current stage of my life, I find myself frequently apologizing to my college girlfriend, who happens to be my wife now, about how I, as a young man, I foolishly discounted emotions. And I sort of fancied my biblical understanding as meaning I didn't have to deal with the world of emotions. And I've been now on an over 40-year journey of being a boyfriend and a fiance and then a husband and then a father and then a pastor and then a marriage and family counselors. Like, oh, man, I was like so really, really, really wrong back then. Man, I was wrong by acting as if emotions were nothing that could be discounted. God made emotions. And emotions are part of healthy human interaction. Emotions are a part of healthy relationships. Now, emotions that move into sin, of course, are a problem. But we give our kids something really good, really healthy, when we teach them to identify, as one of my kids says to their kids, the feels. Right? What is it that you feel? And just, let's pause just for a second here. Like when your child says, I feel like biting, or I wish I could hit someone, or I hate her. Okay, you're like, okay, you're going down the wrong track here, right? You're definitely going down the wrong track. But help them to back up and say, wait, what was before that? What was before that feeling like you want to bite or hit or say hate? What was before that was something happened, something that hurt. Something that was frustrating, something that was provoking, right? And so to help your child get back to, yeah, what was it, then you can help them move toward what is in dealing with it in a healthy way. Don't just say, you know, shut that down. You shouldn't feel anything. Well, they do feel something. Help them to identify the core of that and move it toward a godly, healthy outcome by tasting the emotion. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry, literally be angry. Some of the modern translations have translated this when you are. Well, it's not what it says. It is a imperative verb in the passive or middle tense. It's acknowledging that you do feel it, but without sinning. Feel what you feel without sinning. Jesus was angry and never sinned. Now, the rest of us, anger can and often does lead quickly to sinning. James 1:20 says, the anger of men does not work the righteousness of God. You and I know that. In fact, anger, same noun form of the Greek verb here, is listed in Ephesians 4:31 for something to get rid of, that settled anger or bitterness, or maybe it's the hot anger that reacts wrongly. Whatever it is, there is an anger to get rid of, but there is an anger that is a legitimate emotion, but don't sin when you have it. Taste it. Tell God the emotion. Secondly, why tell God? Well, God invites us to. God is the safest one to tell. You know, if you tell God the emotion, he's never going to use it against you. Somebody else might. It's never going to result in, oh man, now we got another problem because I told you and now you're like, well, now you're emotional too, right? So I'm not saying don't tell anybody else the emotion. There's a place for that, healthy people in the right way. But God is the safest one to tell. And of course, your child, right? Help your child say, you know, honey, there is somebody you can always talk to about what you feel. That's Jesus. Introduce them to the one who is the safest one to tell. And prayer is here in Ephesians, living out the new life in 1:15 to 23. 2:10, it's one of those good works that God's prepared for us. 3:14 to 19, Paul's giving us a sample kind of prayer. And as the Holy Spirit works, Ephesians 4:30, we do pray. We go to God in prayer. But thirdly, Paul quotes here from a prayer. I don't know if you knew that, but be angry and do not sin is a quote of Psalm 4, verse 4 from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So Paul clearly has prayer on his mind here. Paul's quoting from a prayer. And if you look at Psalm chapter 4, you can see prayer language. Answer me when I call, O God. Hear my prayer. So this is embedded in a prayer. Paul's got prayer in his mind. You can go to God in prayer. You know what? If you can pause enough to pray, think of this. There's a really good chance you're going down the track of not sinning, whatever the emotion is. And if you forget to pray, or too reactive to pray, too self-justifying to pray, too proud to pray, whatever it is, there's a really good chance you're going down a track of sinning, right? Now, there's forgiveness when we do, as we go to Jesus, but this is just saying the command is to not sin when emotions fire, and one of those great resources is prayer. Then, of course, we have the truth of the Bible. We need to embrace the truth of the Bible for this emotion, the situation, the reactivity, the trigger causes, or whatever. Triggers are important, right? If you see, like, oh, I always keep getting mad when this happens, well, that tells you something. Maybe you can avoid it, maybe you can't, but if you can't avoid it, then at least be aware of it. Oh, that's what's going on. It's one of those again. God's truth is then applied to, for, and about the situation, the emotion. Paul is quoting from the Bible, and he's emphasizing the truth. And as we mentioned, emotions being like a gauge, if your car registers check engine light, anybody have that problem before? Like, oh man, what's wrong with my car? I don't know, it says check engine. But if you go to the mechanic, and he or she connects it up to the computer, guess what? Here's what's wrong, right? It's like, oh, it's this thing, right? God's word is kind of like that. The analysis of the computer of the truth of God's word when it's rightly understood and applied. So we need to let the Bible then be that for us to teach, train, correct, and redirect. We need to help our kids with this, right? When they're going off like over this, like, don't just say, stop. Help them to see how the Bible can be a part, the truth of Scripture, the right application of it to their teaching, training, correction, and helping them learn to redirect. And as they come to know Christ in his time, they have those resources for each emotional fire. I mentioned earlier, telling somebody, the right kind of somebody, without gossiping is helpful. I think this is one thing parents can do to sift out how to help their child to think through things biblically around the scripture, right? Well, what was going on? And what did he say? What did you say? And was that the right thing? What could you have done? What would, not in a judgmental way, but in a way of just helping them to develop this muscle of telling yourself the truth from the Bible, right? One of the books I was looking at in preparation here mentioned journaling, and maybe for some of us that can be helpful. Like, what are the patterns? What do I see going on? And what did I do? And what could I have done? And what would I want to do differently next time? And where's God's truth in this? And where's He guiding me in this? Right. So this. Telling the truth from the Bible is an important part of not sinning when emotions fire. Paul seems to be getting that when he talks about putting away falsehood. Falsehood, of course, includes lying, but it also is anything that's not in alignment with Scripture, right? If it doesn't square with the Bible, what the Bible says about God, you, and what's right, it's falsehood, right? So God's revealed truth is so vitally important. Putting away that falsehood, Paul sets that up as he moves into this command of not sinning when emotions fire. Connected to the truth of the Bible and application, this testing. Testing the emotion. What's going on here? And what's going on with me? And what is right and what is not right? And as I'm applying the truth of Scripture, there are things I maybe should toss. Like, that's clearly wrong. That's out of bounds. And we embrace this as part of our growth. One of the best things you can do to help your child to not sin when their emotions fire is this. To you not sin when your emotions fire. And to train them in this. Not to discipline out of anger and frustration, but out of instruction and out of purpose, right? So we want to help our child to test their emotions, the messages the emotions tell us. You know, emotions lie to you a lot, right? A lot. And then what to do with them. And Paul's encouraging here to put certain things off and put certain things on. Now, we are all so prone to deceive ourselves, to deflect correction, to defend our sin. So we really got to hold up that Bible seriously, and let the mirror of the Bible speak truth to us so we can make adjustments. Imagine if you were working in the yard, doing a lot of gardening. It's a hot day. You're sweating. When you sweat, you wipe and whatever, and it's your clothes and whatever. And then now you go stand and look in the mirror. It's a full-length mirror. Now, what do you see? Man, I'm not ready to go out. Like, I got to do some major upgrades here. To go out, right? That's what happens, right? When you look at the Bible, especially when you're bringing a lot of that stuff into that context, right? Oh, there it is, God's truth. Whoa, there's a lot to get rid of, and there's some things to put on. Paul's already commanded believers regarding this to be renewed in their minds. And one thing that's just so super encouraging me, it is God who renews us. You got work to do, but God who renews us by constantly putting off certain things, to put off your old self, all that other stuff that's not consistent with life in Christ, belongs to your former life before you came to know him. It's corrupt through deceitful desires, right? So there's a lot of emotional type stuff that is just messed up, but you want to put on the truth. And you do so by putting off what is not good. And notice the next verse, verse 24. And to put on the new self is that which is in our identity in Christ, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, we don't create the new self. God creates it, but we do put on that which is consistent with it. Our thinking, by putting on things. In the context here, and we're looking at this more detail next week, there's a list of put on these things and put off these things. Sort of like if you want to say, when you look in that mirror, what are the things you got to take off? And then as you look in that mirror, what are the things like, hey, this is what I really need to put on. This is coming, Ephesians 4:31, get rid of bitterness, wrath, anger, that's that sinful anger, clamor, slander, put away those things along with malice. And what do I put on? Kindness, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I'm excited to share more about that next week. So as God is working by the Holy Spirit to show you the dirt on your face and your dirty clothes as you step before the mirror of Scripture, when you have emotions, He's going to help and guide you, but you got to repent of those things that are wrong. You got to request His help for doing what is good. So if you have Jesus in your life, you have the Spirit, God's grace is flowing. You see those things, you turn away from them, you admit them, you don't make excuses, you request God's help to grow in love. Now, I told you about the tool. This is better than a Swiss Army knife, the best multi-tool that anybody ever came up with for every job. Yesterday, my son-in-law helped me do something. He had a cute little tool. Like, man, that works pretty good, Mark. Good job. You and I have a tool commanded by the Bible, right in the Bible. You say, man, what is this, Pastor Bruce? This is the tool. It is the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. In the Bible, God is placed in the Bible. Don't ignore the Psalms. Don't say, oh, I guess you didn't even know. No, the Psalms is the Bible-endorsed resource for expressing emotion. God has given this to believers. And how do you filter and do all this stuff? Well, one way is you got a book in the Bible that has taken pretty much every emotion known to man and showed us how to express that emotion honestly, sometimes rawly, to God. So this is what we need to do. We need to use the Psalms. We need to use the Psalms to read and speak and pray and sing for any emotion. And we need to teach our kids this. Introduce your children to the Psalms. And where there are cute little, you know, Bible tunes, putting the Psalms into kids' context. To me, those are wonderful because it's getting them to say, oh, that's a Psalm. Hey, that's a Psalm and that's a Psalm, right? And in my spiritual journey, I, as a younger man, besides devaluing emotions, I'm thinking the connection right now, it just hit me. Maybe I didn't have enough appreciation for the Psalms because it's kind of like, whatever. I need that Paul stuff, right? And now I love the Psalms. The Psalm, yeah, there's sometimes hard stuff to understand there, I know. But the beauty of the emotions and the expression and everything is fair game. Just go to God with it. Give it to God and let Him bring clarity and correction and guidance as you read, speak, pray, and sing those for any emotions. Now you say, well, Pastor Bruce, where did you get this? Well, Paul is quoting from a psalm. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, he's directing the reader to the inspired book of emotional expression that God has given to us and believers of all ages. Be angry and do not sin is right out of Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. And many, many other examples in the Bible of how this book of Psalms is such a wonderful resource. Number 6, make sure you deal with it in a timely manner. What you need to do, make sure you do. Don't avoid doing that apology you need to make. Don't put it off if you need to do it, right? Or there's some kind of other step you need to take to deal with what is going on and make things right in relationship as much as possible, right? There may be some people that push too fast, rush into it while things are flowing hot. That's not advisable. But this text urges us, and I think it's important to train our children to not delay. I think it's a great practice to kind of say at the end of every day, okay, is there anything today I need to address, right? That's not saying it's the only time. You maybe should address it at noon, 4, 6, or 8. But make sure you don't just go, yeah, whatever, that I've left that one, and another day, and another day. And after a while, it'll become just like it's normal when it's not normal. If emotions fire, Satan does conspire, right? We know this. He's like, man, I want to get these guys really messed up. I want to turn them into bitterness and rage and all kinds of stuff that's not good. I want to wreak havoc in Christian relationships. I'd love to take that Trinity Community Church and him, her mad at him, and he's mad at her, and everybody's mad at everybody, and they're all going around just like worthless spiritually because they haven't dealt with anger the way they should, right? So we got to be on to that. We got to deal with things when we need to deal with things with God's grace and help. Yeah, and I mentioned the Psalms. There's a handout on the table in the center lobby. Got it from Desiring God, John Piper's ministry. It's got, 24 different emotions in the Psalms. I bet you can find more. So if you're like, I've never seen that. Well, pick up the sheet on the table in the center lobby if you need it. Sinning often relates to time. So deal with things when you should, because Satan is seeking to get a foothold. I love that image. I think the King James had it. The opportunity is a foothold. It's like Satan's trying to kind of climb up the mountain, and like there, he's got a nice rock to get on. He's going to push against you off that. So don't give it in it. Don't say, no, you're not getting that one in there. I'm not going to give you time. I'm not going to let it lead to sin and harm in relationships. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. So we taste the emotion. We tell God the emotion. We take the truth from the Bible for and about the emotion. We test it in ourselves, and we toss what we should toss. And of course, we want to help our children along this same pathway, little kids, elementary, middle school, high school, right? And like the emotions get bigger and the issues get more complex, but we want to give them the tool then of scripture and biblical expression in the Psalms, and help them and for us to deal with things in a timely way. You know, if you've been listening to this, if you have a spiritual pulse, some part of you is like, oop, I think I messed up, right? Anybody like, oh man, I've got some things to confess, right? If you haven't, I've failed in delivering God's word. Now, are we hopeless? And no, we have forgiveness from Jesus. What an amazing gift. He died on the cross so our sins might be forgiven, and all who believe in him not only receive that when they believe, they're renewed in that every time they come to him, every time they confess. As we share the Lord's Supper here, we're pointing to that cross where Jesus provided that forgiveness, that vertical forgiveness between you and God is only by Jesus and in Jesus, but everyone who believes in Jesus has that. What a gift. And of course, then that points us to horizontal forgiveness to, toward others. As I've been doing, anybody like, hey, I'm thinking of him, I'm thinking of her, I'm thinking of they did that and that and that. Remember they did that and my triggers are blah, blah, blah. You know what? That forgiveness we receive from him, we extend horizontal forgiveness to others. Each believer in Jesus, forgiven by God because of Jesus, and that we celebrate in the Lord's Supper, and renewed in that forgiveness by the grace of Jesus, we celebrate that in the Lord's Supper. We extend forgiveness horizontally, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this timely message relevant to each of us. Lord, I pray for your grace upon each believer here to grow in this, to make this kind of process of processing emotion in a way that doesn't move towards sin, Lord, to be repeated in us. And by your grace and working, Lord, that we would grow in handling emotions, managing emotions in a way that is God-honoring and good. God, I pray as well for anyone here today who has yet to come to faith in Christ, God, that you would help them to see their need for the life that is in him alone by his grace and his working, and help them to receive that in response of personal faith. Lord, I pray for parents and for wisdom for them as they train their children in these things. And God, that you would bring each one of our children and others as well to come to believe in Jesus and know him personally, Lord. Not behavior management from the outside, Lord, but a power from within by your grace applied by your Spirit. We thank you for the finished work of Jesus on the cross, whereby our sins are forgiven and we have life. We look to you, Lord. We trust in you. We praise you. We worship you. And we thank you now and pray this in Jesus' name.